But Tracy, I appreciate what you just said about fear, and because that's one thing I've had to live out on this talk is I've been fighting putting this one together for about 3-4 weeks, and I tried doing something that I wanted to do and not what God was laid on my heart to do, because I've been struggling with prayer. And when we finally give up and just give into what God calls us to do, it's amazing what happens. So my prayer for you guys this morning is that you get as much out of this as I've gotten. And because prayer is a way that we talk to God, and it's an important thing, and I think it's an area that we all have problems with. So before we go any farther, let's take our hats off and open up in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just humbly come before you. I thank you for what you've shown me this past week, and just forgive me for where I failed you and failed others this week. And I pray as we go through this morning, Lord, that everyone here will get as much out of this as you've shown me, and that prayer is a way that we can talk to you and just have that communication with you. And we thank you for that, being able to talk to you. So I just pray you'd be with our time, that it'd be honor and glorifying to you, in your precious name. Amen. So I think we're all going to be honest this morning that our prayer lives might be one area of our life that we struggle with off and on. I mean, it's an undisciplined area. We get so used to, you know, you can read the scripture and just go through it, and you're gaining something by reading the scripture. But with prayer, we're talking to somebody we can't see. Even though he's our best friend, we can't see him. And we let things get in the way. We get life get in the way. And it just, you know, like for me, being out of town, being out of schedule, the last few weeks took that away. You know, I started struggling with it. And, you know, when God laid this on my heart to talk about it, I'm like, I'm struggling with it. I don't want to do it. You know, I was giving into that fear. It's sporadic at best, but and erratic most of the time, but often, you know, we procrastinate. We just stop on it. We don't do it. We just don't do it, but it's powerful. It's an untapped resource, an unexplored content where countless treasure remains to be unearthed. It's talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. And yet for us, it remains the one necessary discipline we must include in our daily lives if we're going to continue to conform to a life that we're called to live in Jesus. It's one thing, like I said earlier, to read the scripture because we get the instant benefit and knowledge and insight. But prayer is one of those things which requires faith. We are praying to someone we cannot see and expecting an answer we can't control. And like every other thing which requires faith, prayer runs contrary to us and the world we live in. It's often neglected, but it's difficult to do. Colossians 4, 2 through 6 says this: devote yourself to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door for us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. I think one of the gifts that Paul had was he understood prayer and its power. It was an undeniable part of his life. As we read through the scriptures that he's written, he talks about it a lot. And Paul repeatedly calls us as Christians to pray. The fact of the matter is, you cannot really be a growing Christian and not pray. Just like you can't have a growing marriage and not talk to your spouse. You can be a Christian and not pray, just like you can be married and not talk to your spouse. But in both circumstances, your relationship will be stagnant. You will never know the full benefit of that relationship. Prayer is a doorway through which we can talk to God. The first thing we say this morning is that we need to pray persistently. And I kind of talked a little bit about this back last year. But, you know, Paul begins by saying, devote yourself to prayer. In some translations, are continually Continue earnestly in prayer. In the original language, it says continue steadfast in prayer. The word translated continue steadfast is one word in the original language. It can be translated persist in, adhere firmly to, or remain devoted to, or to give unremitting care to. It carries the idea of dedication. It is an immensely powerful word. In this verse, it is given as a command. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul writes, pray constantly. Persistent prayer is not an option for us. It is a direct command. Praying constantly does not mean we spend all day on our knees praying, but we constantly are in a condition of prayer. We have our heart has an attitude of prayer. We cannot pray every moment of every day, but we can keep in communication with God throughout our day. Kind of talking with my dad about this, and we were talking about that persistent prayer. And he's like, a lot of times when he's sitting at his desk at work, he has an attitude of heart of prayer. He's just, even though he may be doing his job, going through his day, he's taking time and just having those conversations. I know Jeff mentioned it a lot of times, being on horseback, just getting out there doing, even when you're out doing something, we can still talk to God. You know, on our trip home, driving back from New York, I had a lot of time behind the wheel, sitting there, had a lot of conversations with God. And, you know, it took me a while to listen to him, but I listened to him finally. But prayer is something that we can do. We just have to have that attitude of prayer. Our heart has to be focused on it. Two of the most instructive parables Jesus ever told on prayer, one's in Luke 11 and the other's in Luke 18, both have to do with being persistent and not giving up in prayer. Luke 11:9 says, is where we find the promise that says, so I say to you, keep asking and it'll be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. Jesus doesn't want us to give up in prayer. He instructs us to be persistent. But we look at the parable in Luke 18:1, you know, he told them on a prayer that we need to be persistent, not to be discouraged. And just, you know, kind of a recap of this parable, you know, it talks about a widow and kept going to the judge. Give me justice against my adversary. The other person was unwilling, but that widow was persistent. She kept going back. She kept talking to him. So that gives us an example that we just need to keep going back to God, be in constant communication with him. Don't give up in it. Now, there is a difference between persistent prayer and a long prayer. A person who is persistent in prayer does not necessarily have to pray for a long time. But we simply have to develop a habit of prayer and practice it. Persistence means not giving up. It means not quitting, not giving in, not becoming discouraged when the answers do not come as quickly or in the manner we imagine. I mean, how many times have we prayed for something? A month goes by, 2 months, 3 months, a year, 2 years. How easy is it to give up? Keep praying about something because we don't get that answer. Because God's going to answer our prayers, but it's going to be in his time and according to his will, not what we want. There's a situation that, you know, I started praying about something, it was about 4 years ago. And I kind of didn't keep persistent after a couple of years. But even though it's kind of in the back of my mind about this situation, I finally got an answer to it. You know, it was an answer that, when it came, was unexpected because I hadn't been persistent, but God was faithful to answer it. So we need to, when we have those prayers that may not be answered right away, we need to keep it in the front of our mind that if it's important to us, we need to keep praying about it. Because God's going to answer it. He's just going to do it in his time. And that's where it's easy for us to get discouraged, because it's not like having a conversation when that person's going to answer you right away. They're going to take their, you know, God takes his time. Sometimes it's a quick answer. Sometimes it's 3, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. But we just have to be persistent in praying. Some people give up easily on prayer. They quit just because they don't feel like praying. The joy is gone. The feeling is just not there. But we are not to live by our feelings, but to live by the commandments that God has put before us. where he tells us to pray without ceasing. We need to have that heart attitude, that heart, not in our mind, but down in our heart, that we are having that attitude. We're always talking. While we can't devote, again, every minute to pray, we can live in a way, in such a way that our lives honor God, and we can live in thanksgiving for all the blessings we have received, great and small. We can offer prayers for people we interact with daily. There are endless possibilities, but we have to pray. Praying constantly doesn't mean continuous, uninterrupted prayers, but humble submission to God in all the details of our lives. We have to put ourselves, get out of ourselves, humble ourselves before God, and just lay down. He wants to know the even though he knows every detail of our life, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and 5 years down the road. He wants to know all the details. We just need to be smart enough to bring him to him and lay him down at his feet and go, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Psalms 86:3 says, be gracious to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. I mean, if the psalmist really knew about that, because you know he had some pretty tough times in his life, and he was always, you know, he probably had some times where he wasn't talking to God, but when he was, you know, when he knew what he had to do, he was talking to God. He was always having that communication with him. George Mueller says this, if you're going to take up your cross and follow Jesus, prayer is not an option for you. If you're going to be like him, you will pray as he did. You will be persistent in prayer. And as his followers, we are commanded to follow his lead. The next thing we can see, you know, is that we need to pray passionately. Or pray deeply, intently. If we're persistent in something, it stands to reason that you would be passionate about it as well. How much, you know, we get hobbies that we're involved in our daily life, you know, different things we do that we get, we do it constantly. We're always thinking about it, always doing it. But if we're always doing that hobby, we're also very passionate about that hobby. We're always talking about it. So why can't we take that same intensity and apply it to our daily prayer lives? In fact, Paul says we should be vigilant or be watchful, which is the opposite of being lazy. The following verses are some great examples of it. Luke 3:21, at his baptism, while he was praying, the heaven was opened. Luke 6:12, before he called his disciples, during those days he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. How many of us have spent a whole night praying to God? I know I haven't. I spent my time, and I spent time praying, but if there's something that we need to really lay before him, are we taking the time? Are we putting ourselves, you know, sacrificing ourselves and being obedient to what God's laid on our heart to do? Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. When we pray passionately, that ushers us into the throne room of heaven and enables us. It just gives us a way to experience the glory of God. But we have to be praying. John 17, he prayed for all those who would follow him. That's Jesus. Jesus prayed for all those who would follow him, and that we would be kept from the evil one, and that we'd be sanctified by the truth, which is his word. Passionate prayer exercises the deepest desires of our heart, reveals our love for others. And I think John 17 is a great example that Jesus lays before us of how he prays for himself, but most of all, he's praying for other people. Luke 22:44, where Jesus is praying in the garden of through the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. Passionate prayer enables us to be totally honest with God, even during the most trying circumstances that we face. When we're going through hard times, I mean, are we really praying passionately about it? Are we praying deeply and intently about it? Or are we just kind of, it's a one-off. I'm just going to talk about it and get on with my day. But when we're going through those times, we need to really just commit ourselves to talking to God and laying it before him. because he's going to answer those prayers in his time. But we have to be diligent and pray passionately and pray persistently. Jesus always prayed with passion because he knew who it was he was talking to. He knew that the access to the Father is a powerful thing. It's not something we should take lightly. When we take it lightly, it's kind of like telling God we don't care. But when we know who we're talking to our Creator, the one that in his plan thought we were important enough to put in his masterpiece. Prayer from the heart is what passionate prayer is. It is a prayer from the heart, just not from the head. We should never lose the passion when we talk to God. Jesus was always passionate when he prayed, and that's how he wants us to pray. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to take up our cross and follow him, it will require us to be passionate in our prayer life and to focus less on us, but to focus more on Jesus. But, you know, we're not supposed to pray just persistently or passionately. We're supposed to pray gratefully. Pray with thanksgiving. Is that something that we do? Or we just say, here's my needs. I'll go on to the next thing. We should pray with thanksgiving because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. It's only right to credit him for every good and perfect gift he gives. We are thankful when we are thankful, our focus moves off our selfish desires, off whatever we're going through, our painful circumstances. Expressing thankfulness helps us to remember that God is in control, and it reminds us of the bigger picture that we belong to God, and we have been blessed with that great gift. A constant theme which should be in our prayers is that of gratitude. And Paul talks about it several times throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Give thanks always for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 4:6, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in everything." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." 1 Timothy 4:4, "For everything was created by God is good. Nothing should be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving." I mean, if we actually go before God and just say, tell him what we're thankful for. I mean, we got to be here this morning. A lot of places can't meet in a facility like this. They don't have the freedoms that we have to meet. We can be thankful for that. I mean, we have air conditioning. We have heat. We're not in the rain. There's so many things we can be thankful for, but are we telling God that when we pray to him and talk to him? Expressing gratitude as we pray accomplishes several things. One of the first things it does, it articulates dependence. It says that we know who God is, and you know who you are. We are sinners. We're going to fail him every day, but God loves us. He's the creator of everything. And we are aware, at least to some degree, how desperate we are. And we would know where we would be if we didn't have his grace and presence in our lives. If we didn't have his grace and presence, where would we be? Wouldn't be sitting here this morning. You know, you could be hung over in a bar somewhere or living on the street. But we don't have, when we have that grace in our lives and know that he's with us, man, there's nothing we can't do. We need to be thankful for that. Thankful that he was willing to send his son to die on the cross so we could have that great gift. When we pray, it should always express our understanding that every breath we take is, in fact, a gift from God. Do we thank him for that? Do we thank him every morning we get up and we get to take that first breath? Failure to pray with gratitude demonstrates a sense of self-reliance and self-sufficiency that is insulting to God, which brings me to my second observation here on the expression of gratitude. It generates humility. Expressing gratitude continues to remind us of how truly helpless we are without God. Everything in this world, our flesh, the world system, the people around us, all try to enforce the idea of a self-made man. But everything in God's word speaks to the contrary. Micah 6:8 says, "Mankind, he has told you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you is to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God." Are we walking humbly with him every day? Are we thanking him for the things that he gets to do, that he's done for us and will do for us? Expressing gratitude demonstrates a relationship. It says we know that he is our Father and that we are his children. And as his children, we know that he loves us and he has provided for us out of that love. When we fail to express gratitude, we are taking God for granted and assuming we have somehow deserved his grace and his kindness. Nothing can be farther from the truth. We are blessed because Jesus has made it possible through his death, burial, and resurrection for us to be adopted into the family of God. I mean, like Jeff's talked about, Jesus is the only religious figure that's broken the death barrier. And without that, you know, if Jesus hadn't done that, we'd be like every other religion. But our God was powerful enough to beat that. And that's where we need to be expressing that gratitude, because if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't have that gift of salvation. We wouldn't have his grace and his presence with us. The benefits we enjoy are the benefits of a relationship. And when we express our gratitude, it demonstrates the reality of that relationship. When we pray with persistence and with passion, it enables us to express the depth of our gratitude to God, who loves us so much and so desires to be in our relationship with us, that his only son, and so desires to be in a relationship with us, that his only son to die on the cross, so that we should have that forgiveness of sins and relationship with him. What greater thing is there than this? And this is not significant reason. And this is not significant reason to give thanks as we pray. And we need to pray selflessly. We must pray for others. Intercessory prayer is the act of praying on the behalf of others. It is praying for God's will be done in their lives, in the lives of other people. Not only is this far too little prayer being offered these days, but much of what is offered is purely selfish. Are we praying for others? Are we looking out, like Mark was talking about, you know, are we lifting those people up that we know have lost loved ones? Are people that we know are going through a hard time? Are we seeing a need and we taking that time to pray for them, pray with them? And, you know, someone comes with you, says, "Hey, you need to pray with me about something." Are we stopping what we're doing right then and there and praying with them? I mean, Tommy and I've done that multiple times. You know, we can come to each other and say, "Hey, I'm dealing with this. I'm struggling with this." And we'll go off and pray. Are we doing it with other people? Are we, you know, seeing a need and just stopping and praying for it? Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Do this for me. And do that for me. Read the prayers of Jesus and you'll find the large majority of his prayer was life was devoted for praying for others. He wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for others. Intercessory prayer characterizes the prayer life of Jesus. And he was always praying for others. Like I said earlier, John 17 gives a good example of this, where he did pray for himself a little bit, but he prayed for his disciples and other believers. Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as a spoil. Because he submitted himself to death and was counted among the rebels, yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels." Luke 22:23, Jesus tells Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Luke 23:34, when he was hanging on the cross to die for our sins, he was praying for others. In the worst time of his life, one of the hardest things he was going through, he stopped and prayed for others. And it says, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they were doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots." John 14:15, Jesus interceded for us, asking the Father to send his Holy Spirit. John 17:9, he prayed for us, the church. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Romans 8:34 says, who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is always able to save those who come to God through him, and since he always lives to intercede for them. Understanding the power of prayer, Paul wanted to pray. He wanted the church in Colossians to pray with a certain purpose. He wanted them to pray for him, asking God to open the door so they could, that he could speak the gospel. You know, he wasn't saying, oh, I'm in prison, I'm sitting here, woe is me. No, he's saying, yeah, I may be in prison, but use me. Pray that God will use me to be a witness, to be a light. Even when we're going through our dark times, our hard, difficult circumstances, we can be a witness in that time. Are we asking people to pray for us that way? Yeah, you can have them pray for that situation. But are we asking them to pray that God will, people will see Christ in us? And we'd have an attitude of Christ? It was the gospel that Paul lived for. It was preaching the gospel that landed Paul in prison. It was preaching the gospel that was ever on the forefront of Paul's mind. Paul was about following the Great Commission. He was about making disciples for all nations. And God wants us to be more like Jesus, but he wants us to conform to the image of Jesus so we can continue to work for him. John 20:21 says, Jesus says to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Our purpose is spiritual growth, not merely to enjoy the personal benefits of a relationship with God, which is certainly a benefit. It's ultimately to carry out the Great Commission. And the great command to the great command that we've been talking about is to love Lord our God with all that we are, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. The one way we can carry out that command is to sit there and pray for others. In this passage, we see Paul's not asking them to pray for his situation or that he would be released from prison. He is asking them to pray that he would have the opportunity to show others what Jesus has done for him. He is focused on God, on helping them become the Christians they need to become so that God can use them to accomplish the things they need to accomplish. When we start praying for others, that's what we need to be doing, letting that light shine. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then, I urge you that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Charles Spurgeon said, no man can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me. As we get ready to close this morning, I think there's three things we need to examine in ourselves before we pray. And number one is examine your heart attitude. What's the attitude of our heart? Are we focused on the situation we're going through? We focus on self? We focus on God? Because prayer is a fellowship with God. It is a direct reflection of our relationship with him. It always involves our heart attitude. If you are in love with him, your prayer life will reflect that love. Prayer begins with the heart. It is an outpouring of our heart towards God and always reveals the truth about how we feel towards him. When we pray, we should consider our attitude. We should always humble ourselves before God. We shouldn't pray to God with an attitude of making demands, but asking God to help, God's help in a spirit of humility and deference to his will, not our own. Number two is measure our words. Prayer begins in the heart, but it makes its way through to our lips. David wrote this in Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Are what we're saying in our prayers, are they honoring and glorifying to God? Everything we need to pray for, it should be acceptable to him. And number three is to commit our life. How can we expect God to take us seriously if we're not at least willing to participate in the answers to God, that God gives us to our prayers? Can we seriously pray for someone to come to Christ if we're not willing to share with them? Can we honestly pray for God to meet the needs of someone else if we're not willing to contribute in some of what into that need? You see, if we're going to be effective in our prayer life, we must first 100% commit and be willing to act when God answers our prayers. Your involvement may be the answer to it. Yeah. Your involvement may be the part of his answers to our prayers. I mean, that's the thing, is we can pray all these, you know, we can pray and talk to him. But when he answers that prayer, are we willing to act out? Are we going to commit to that? Or we go, well, I was praying for them, but I was expecting someone else to do it. I was expecting Matt. I was expecting Tommy to do that. Or Ron. Instead of, this is what God's calling, God's telling you to do it. We need to commit to that. We need to make sure our heart attitude's right. That we measure our words and what we say is acceptable and pleasing to God. We have to commit. And I close with this quote by F.B. Meyer. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. So this morning, I just pray that as we go into this week, that we'd all be, take a look at our lives and see if, are we praying persistently, passionately, with thanksgiving, and we're praying for others. And then when we get those answers, let's be committed to what God's telling us to do. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before you again. We just thank you for this opportunity that we can gather together and just go through your word. I thank you for what you've shown me through putting this together, Lord, and that I have failed you in my prayer life, Lord. I pray that you continue to show me how to develop it and grow deeper in my prayer life. I pray that for each person here this morning, Lord, that they would just have a deeper prayer life with you, and that they would pray passionately, they would pray persistently, they would pray with thanksgiving, be thankful for that you sent your son to die for us, thankful for the gift that you've given us through your death and resurrection. But we also need to pray for others, Lord, that we can, when we see a need, we're lifting it up, and Lord, help us to, when you answer our prayers, to be open and receptive to those answers and be willing to act on them and not try to push it off on someone else. Just give us safety going from this place, Lord, and bring us back at the next appointed time. We again thank you for your blessings that you show us each and every day in your precious and holy name. Amen.